Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Praise God. God is good all the time. Amen. How many of y'all know Jesus is coming soon? Hallelujah. Well, he is. So what he's doing is preparing us for his return, isn't he? You know, have you ever gone to a restaurant, you know, or gone somewhere to eat, and you might have been dressed up, whatever, you had a shirt on or something, or a blouse that you liked, and you spilled something on it. And it's like, man, you know, you're trying to get that stain off, you know. You know, you're spitting on it, and you go into the bathroom, you're trying to get the soap, and then there's this big white, that wet spot that's there, and you're waiting for it to evaporate and go away, you know. And it really... You know, it's like, man, I can't believe I did this again. You know, and so many times, especially people that go out, you know, you wear a white shirt and you're going to go eat spaghetti. Dumb, you know. But in that stain, in that garment, you know how we feel sometimes in that stain? It's how the Holy Spirit feels. He's saying, get that stain off. Get that stain off of me. Get it off. Get it off my garments. See, there's a spiritual garment that we wear that's from God. And in this garment, it's like Under Armour, you know? It's a spiritual garment. And this garment is supposed to be maintained and kept clean and pure. And so many times it gets contaminated, it gets stained. And people don't even realize that they're in need of a garment change. You know, when you're out there doing stuff, you come home and change your clothes. You're out there working and you're laboring, you come home, you change, you get cleaned up and so forth. Well, it's the same thing in the spirit. When you're out there and you're out in the world, we get our garments dirty. And in that, we begin to touch things. We begin to rub things. We begin to bump things that are dirty in the world. I mean, you could just drive down the highway, man, and there's enough billboards to get you stained. You know? And that's one of the things the enemy likes to do. He likes to get us stained. He wants to get stained. He wants to throw stuff on you so that your garments get stained. And there's multiple ways of being stained, getting your garments stained. And one of the things that God is trying to do is maintaining clean garments is essential. And that's something that the Spirit was putting on my heart this morning. So would you turn to Psalm 24, please? Psalm 24. Maintaining clean garments. Psalm 24, is everybody there? Let's speak this together, please. Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a what? Pure heart. I want you to understand something. Clean hands is associated with keeping your hands clean of things that we touch, things that we agree with, spiritually touch, things that we didn't repent for, like unfulfilled vows. If you've ever never fulfilled, if you ever broke a vow that you were committed to, you repent for it, or there's blood on your hands. I know that when I was in the drug world for multiple years, and in my last year, the Lord started to bring, I started to hear this voice that used to say, look at how many people you're killing. I thought, what? He said, yes, look at how many people, how many families you're destroying by selling them drugs. Then I began to realize, look at how many people were getting paid for, when I went to a liquor store and bought booze, how many people I was killing. There was blood on my hands. Why? Because it's promoting the manufacturers that are making the stuff that's killing people. Cigarettes, all of those things that I realized it was destroying people, I was participating in financing. And I thought, wow, all of these things. See, but if you're not in tune with the Spirit, you won't know those things. You'll be dull of it. You'll make an excuse for all those things. You become religious thinking that you know it when you don't know nothing. Because if you're truly in tune with those things, you won't touch those things. And I began to repent because I began to see blood on my hands. And I'm thinking, gosh, And then I began to just repent for everything and anything that I thought that I associated with that had put blood on my hands. Even the word tells us in Ezekiel that if we don't warn individuals of the sins and transgressions, especially believers, that blood is on our hands. So there's times when God will put an unbeliever before your path and you're to warn them. And if you don't, blood's on your hands. And he'll put a believer in front of your path to warn them. And if they refuse it, you're clean. You've done your part by warning them. But one thing you don't want to stand before God and have blood on your hands. So he says in verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Ascending means to be taken, raptured, brought into God's presence from the earth. Does everybody understand that? He who has clean hands and a pure heart is associated with an individual that does not lie, does not exaggerate, is submissive to the will of God, does not lie. And if you're in a job that promotes lying, get out. Amen? Now look at this. Who has clean hands and a pure heart, look at, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. It says what in verse 5? He shall be what? He shall receive what? Blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. See, not many people seek God's face. They seek his hand because they always want something. Amen? That's an individual that turns their heart towards the Lord. Doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes. We turn our hearts towards the Lord. That's seeking his face, is turning your heart towards the Lord to go look at him. Some people really can't look at him face to face because of their guilt, because of their shame, because of their sins and their garments. Oh, they think they are, but they're really not. Ascending to the hill of the Lord. In other words, having access to the throne room of God. You know, a lot of people have a good imagination about having access to the throne room of God, but do they really access the throne room of God? They may imagine it, but I can tell you, if you have blood on your hands, there's no way you are accessing the throne room of God. No way. You can imagine it, but you aren't. Does everybody understand that? There's a place of reality, and there's a place of fantasy. Go to Ephesians 5. Maintaining clean garments. Hallelujah. I'm going to start at verse 25. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word of God, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she may be holy and without blemish. In other words, the Lord is coming for a blemish-free church, spotless. Here, this is an example between a husband and a wife, but the mystery is associated with the bride of Christ and the bridegroom of Christ. It says, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become flesh. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now understand something. And this goes for both ways. A spouse will begin to lose respect for another spouse if the one spouse is truly seeking the Lord. If the one spouse is truly after God's heart, truly, and the other spouse is no longer zealous for God, zealous for the house of God, zealous for his word. Does everybody understand that? That other spouse will begin to lose respect for that person. The one that is seeking the Lord with all their heart, when the other one begins to drift, will begin to lose respect. Why? How can you have respect for a spouse that doesn't put God first? You will lose respect for that person. I didn't say you wouldn't love them. I said you'd lose respect for them. Amen? So we can see there, when an individual is inconsistent in that area, where God is not first, the body of Christ is, they don't fellowship and so forth, and not assembling and things to that degree, because that is an area where God is saying, look, if you're really hungry for me, you'll come to me. You'll come. If you're really hungry for me, if you really want to know me, you'll come. See, God doesn't meet you where you want him to. He meets you where he wants you to. He wants to. Okay. Amen? So many times people think, well, I can just speak to God at any time. Yes, you can. But I can tell you he won't meet you every time. Because he meets you by obedience, not disobedience. I'm going to say it again. He meets you by obedience, not disobedience. Well, I just don't feel it. Well, that's too bad. God isn't interested in how you feel. He's the God of truth. You're either going to follow him or follow the dictates of your feelings and the ways of the world. You'll either gain his trust or lose his trust. You'll either live in fantasy or reality. Does everybody get it? Everybody okay? Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Maintaining clean garments. Verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many works in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You practice what? Lawlessness. How did he determine that they were practicing lawlessness? What was on their hands? Blood. Is everybody all right? So many are going to say in that day, you know, Lord, come on, man, I did all this stuff for you. He said, yeah, you practice lawlessness. I was not first. The only time I came first in your life is when you wanted something. But you really didn't love me. You used me. And I let you use me for a long time because I love you unconditionally. But now it's day. Here's the day. You gave up your last breath and you're standing before me and there's blood on your hands. You're only interested in building your empire. You're only interested in your bank account. You're only interested in the things that you wanted from me and what I could do for you. But you aren't interested in what you could truly do for me with a pure heart and clean hands. And that's what he's looking for. Amen? Practicing lawlessness is a life without righteous guidelines of Christ. Is a life without righteous guidelines of Christ. And I can tell you that many people are living an imaginary relationship, not a true reality one. Imaginary. In Zechariah 3. In verse 1. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And who was next to him? And Satan standing at the right hand to what? Oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with what? Filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity. Does everybody understand? The garments were defiled because of sin, iniquity, inherited sin. And he said, remove those garments. Well, you know, Satan was standing right next to him. Why? Because he had deceived, tempted for him to what? Sin. Take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Let me tell you, when when we came out of that day that we came out of the world, that day that we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you got garments. They were clean, brand new, pressed, no wrinkles, beautiful. The thing is that afterwards people start to get them dirty. They didn't know how to exchange them or get them clean again. And they walked around with dirty garments. And you know what happens? They get weighed down. The enemy has access to them. See, he can't access a clean garment. He can only access a dirty one. And what does he come to do? Steal, kill, destroy, promote anxiety, stress, fear, doubt, unbelief. Verse 5. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. Well, the turban goes around the head. In other words, let's clean the mind. Let's create new memory. Let's put the mind of Christ in there. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Why did the angel of the Lord stood by? Because the angel of the Lord stands by those who fear God. Reverence, honor, and respect. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my what? Commands, my requirements. Then you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts. And I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you. For they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. And we know that day is not here yet, but it is coming. So we see here, again, those that are practicing lawlessness, disobedient to the Lord, they have blemished. They have stains on their garments. But God is always willing to exchange those garments if we're willing to let him. And, yes, we may repent for something. Amen. Oh, Lord, forgive me. He does forgive us. But what he does now, he says, now let's make a change. See, because repentance is the area where you turn away from what you're still doing. Or you still have stains on your garments. You turn away from what you're doing. That's repentance, turning away from it so you don't continue to do it. That's true repentance. We can't just say, oh, Lord, forgive me for everything and still do the same thing. Amen? Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Let's all read this together, okay? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of what? Heaviness. Oh, hallelujah. You want to get rid of that heaviness? Put on the garment of praise. Exchange your filthy garment for a garment of praise. Why? Because you got to get humble to get a garment of praise. That they may be called trees of what? Righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be what? Glorified. Does everybody see that? Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 10. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has what? Clothed me with garments of what? Salvation. He has covered me with the what? Robe of righteousness. See, that robe is that garment. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes things that are sown into it spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations, the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. They are garments from God. In the book of Revelation in 19. Book of Revelations 19. Is everybody there? Start at verse 7. Oh, glory. Let's speak it together. Let us what? Be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Who's her wife? We are. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in what? Fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the what? Righteous acts of the saints. So your garments are known as this fine linen because you are submissive and obedient because they are called righteous acts. So without submission, is that righteous acts? No, it's not. Does everybody understand that? In verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Righteous acts is the garment of the bride because of the righteous acts. These are garments. They are called lawless acts. I mean, not lawless acts. They are called lawful acts because they're obeying the commands of God. In Revelation 3, maintaining clean garments. In verse 1, Revelation 3, let's read it together. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and what? Repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their what? Garments. Only a few names. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the what? Book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now that's pretty powerful, because if the garments are not clean, there's no entrance. Does everybody get it? In Psalm 7. You know, one of the things that's really, I can tell you in my own life, the moments that I recall of where I was, how my life was, you know. I can't be an, I don't know how to express enough gratitude to him. I was a dead man headed to hell. Anything I touched had a false prosperity, but it was actually destructive. It was a form of wealth, but it was an ungodly wealth. When I lost everything, my only way out was death. He rescued me. And in that rescue and the change of garments, I became the richest man I'd ever thought I could ever be. It had nothing to do with material wealth. It had to do with the richness of who he is and his love for me. Such richness that there is no money that can buy that. None. None at all. The richness of purity, the richness of his concern, and the richness of knowing who created you in fellowship with the one that brought you forth into this world. And the one who guides us and protects us and holds us. There's such a richness there that can't be expressed physically. You can only experience it. And it is the most wonderful, awesome thing that I, without that, I'm nothing. Without him, we're nothing. I had nothing. I had cardboard boxes as living room furniture. But I was the richest man alive as far as I was concerned. No longer was I the poorest man. I was the richest man alive. I had all fulfillment was established. It was like I was done. And I didn't do anything. But it was like I fulfilled everything. It was fulfilled right then and there. I'm like, whoa. And I didn't do anything. That's all I do is get into a presence of the one who made me. That's all. And the richness of his love and purity of his glory fulfilled everything that I ever desired. Does everybody, I'd like to say, does everybody understand it? But you must experience it. In Psalm 7, in verse 8, somewhere around there. In verse 8, let's read it together. The Lord shall what? Judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my what? Righteousness, and according to my integrity within me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God does what? Test the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright where? In heart, because that heart is honest. That heart is open to God, doesn't hide anything, because he sees it anyways. Keeps an open heart before the Lord in every area, pure. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, we can confess our sins but not have an open heart. Does everybody understand that? In other words, you can just confess your sins but not have an open heart. Because an open heart says, I don't want to do that again. Lord, give me the strength not to do that anymore. Why? Because I don't want to offend you. When we sin against him, not against man. We sin against him. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, is everybody there? Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, let's speak it together. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before, spitefully treated by Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God who tests our heart. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her children. So we see here that there was something about, in this, they were saying, look, we didn't mislead anyone. We spoke firmly and true because God tests the heart. God tests the heart. What's he looking for? Honesty. Honesty. Always. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we've heard this plenty of times. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's speak it together, okay? In verse 16. And what agreement has the what? Temple of God with idols. For you are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. If what? If what? If we come out from among the ways of the world. It's real simple. If we come out from among the ways of the world, if we come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, in that, it's not fantasy. There's an area of reality of a relationship between a child and a father. It's real. He is my dad. I'm his son. I can be a brat sometimes, but he knows it. And he spoils me sometimes, and I enjoy it. So there's things that I can get away with sometimes, and there's things I can't. But it's all under the area of relationship, not in lawlessness, but maintaining a pure heart of honesty and hands that are clean of repentance and turning away from those things that would dirty my hands. And that's what he's looking for in his children. King David was a king. He put him in this place. He put him as a king. He was a worshiper beforehand. He ministered to the Lord. He maintained his priesthood. People trying to be kings out there without maintaining a priesthood. Priesthood are garments. They're beautiful garments. And you wear those under your full armor. But David made mistakes. Murdered somebody. Had him murdered. Blood was still on his hand. Broke covenant. But he turned away. You know what he did when he found out? When the prophet exposed him. Because the enemy blinds people, thinking that they're okay. Because nothing has happened in their life from the enemy, they're okay. I must be doing something right. No, that's not how it is. There's a lot of people that think they're okay out there and they're going to hell. But that's where the enemy wants people to be, in that position that I'm a good person. See, because then they're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and anyone eating from that goes to hell. Only those who eat from the tree of righteousness put on robes of righteousness. And that's the only way. Those are the garments that allow you into heaven. But one of the things that King David did when he was exposed, he repented. And you know what he did? He ran to the presence of God before the ark, and he sat in front of the ark. And let me tell you, any normal person that sat in front of the ark would die. He didn't, because his heart was after God. They couldn't get in God's presence without rituals. They would die. But he went right in and got right before the ark because his heart was pure. Why? He was honest. He repented and wanted to please God. Didn't God say he was a man after his heart? Does everybody get that? Praise God. All right. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Is everybody there? James chapter 1, verse 12. Would you read it? Blessed is the what? Man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and what? Enticed. That influence of the unseen enemy that influences an individual. And when they agree with it, it promotes a desire. And that desire begins to fall into rebellion. That desire begins to fall into lust, begins to fall into greed, begins to fall into all kinds of things that are offensive to the Lord. And it says here, but, you know, we're going to be tempted, but we're to overcome those things, aren't we? Amen? In fact, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, therefore, let him who thinks he can stand take heed lest he what? Fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know how many times we gather together? You know what he's doing? When we get training, he's giving a way of escape from temptation. Does everybody get it? Why? He's exposing our enemy. We're coming here today because God is exposing the enemy that comes in our lives, and he's given us a strategy to come out of it. And it's our choice whether we accept it or reject it. You may come here and look at a man, or you can come here and hear from the voice of God, not from a man. Amen? Does everybody get that? That's why the Spirit comes. He comes and he convicts. He comes and heals. And he comes and establishes so we can turn from it. Revelation 6. Revelation chapter 6. But I can tell you this, that everything you heard today, you're accountable for. So when you do stand before him, he will say, I told you.
No, man, there was some ponytail preacher that said that stuff.
No, that was my voice. So everyone say, I'm accountable now. It doesn't matter whether you said it or not, you're still accountable. Verse 9. Revelation 6, verse 9. Would you read it with me? When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So obviously they were at the throne room of God. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. This will be during Revelation time. White robes was what? Given to them. Revelation 7, verse 9. And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, or no could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. They were clothed with what? White robes. Why? Because they had access to the throne room, because their robes are what? Clean. And they had palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne. And they worshiped. They did what? They worshiped, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might to be our God forever and ever. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, in verse 10, would you read it with me? Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they what? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe, W-O-E, without eternity. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. And he knows. And I'm going to close at Revelation 19. Maintaining clean garments. In verse 11. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a what? Robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in what? Fine linen, that's us. White and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. We will see that. We will see that happen. But in the array that we will be in, there won't be a feeling. It'll be different because we won't be the same that we are now. There won't be that area of remorse, of sorrow. It'll be the same sense of what the Lord senses. We will also, because he hates wickedness. Amen? He hates wickedness. So let's keep our garments clean. Let's continue to pursue the presence of God, the truth. Maintain fellowship. In those things, keep an open heart. What it is he is sharing with you, submit to it so there's no blood on the hands. Amen? It's time to turn. Turn away and run to him. Maintain a real relationship, not a fantasy. There's too much fantasy and not enough reality. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask today, Father, that the seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb and a grown bear fruit for your glory, and reality will hit the hearts and the minds of everyone who heard this message today, and that a turn and change of heart would be manifested, that they would truly seek your face, that their hearts would be set towards you, and that you would bless them for turning their ways towards you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.